very beginning of Baba Kama, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, raises an interesting issue we've discussed in the past regarding the relationship between Avos and Toldos. Avos and Toldos. When it comes to Shabbos, the Gemara is very explicit that they're Toldos on Shabbos. Fascinating, that's not a Svara, that's a Gzeres HaKasel, that's a Sugim Shabbos and Daf Ayin. The Gemara says, Achas Mehena. Mehena means the prefix of mem, hayotzin, min ha'avos. They're derivatives. So hena al avos, and mehena is hayotzin, min ha'avos. There's a gzeres akasu of toldos. When it comes to nezikin, the same thing is true, that there's a concept of toldos as well. There it's interesting, the Gemara just simply says, midif tani avos, michlal dika toldos. If the Mishnah mentions avos, there must be toldos. I would expect that the next word should be minayin. How do you know that indeed there are toldos? So that's a stunning contrast. On Shabbos, toldos are gzeres hakasuv. When it comes to nezikin, it's a svar pshuta, seemingly a svar pshuta that, you know, when the Torah mentions the avos, those cases, as Rashi writes, that are mafurish v'krash, shor borah ma v'hever, that's not the whole world of hezek, but those are models. Those are models regarding which that one could create hagdaros in terms of when indeed you'll be chayim. That's already a kasha of the Maritats. And Shidu Kovet says, when do you require a gzeres hakasa for toldos and when indeed do you not? So the Gemara tells us, like, stunning, that Shabbos is in one corner, and that is toldosen kayotze bahem. When it comes to Tuma, we obviously know that there's a concept of toldos as well. You know, a mace is navi avosa Tuma. In contact with a mace, it's an av, and then rishon, and sheni, and so on. There also is a hierarchy of Tuma as well. And there it's clear that Toldosein lav kayotzeben. When it comes to the world in Tum and Tara, that certainly is not the case. The Gemara raises the question, what about when it comes to Nezikin? Is Nezikin more similar to Shabbos, or Nezikin more similar to cases of Tuma? So how conceptually would you understand like this setup and the Diyun of the Gemara? So Pashav Shat as follows, that really there are two different Gedarim when it comes to Toldos. Let's start, for example, when it comes to cases of Shabbos. Good. So there were certain pu'ulos that were found in the Mishkan itself. The Gzeres HaKasuv of Toldos means that it's not that you have to do only that which was done in Mishkan to be chayiv, but these again are the models. You have a model of Zoraya, right? Placing a seed in the ground, planting. But the Gemara Moed Katan Daf Beis Amud Beis, that let's expand that, let's broaden that out. It doesn't only mean the tzura samalacha of planting, but rather anything which is done to promote the growth of a plant. That is considered to be bichlal zareya. So when a person goes out, for example, and waters the plant, nashkamay nizrayim, that's a told of zareya. That's a sumanachesh, a person weeds and allows the plant to grow more productively, more effectively, to its fullest, that's a tolda. Let's assume, for example, zomer, a person goes that in prunes in order that the plant should grow properly. Anything that promotes the growth of the plant, so that's considered to be that which is a toldo. If I were to ask you, what exactly is the relationship then between an av and a toldo? It's not that they're identical in terms of the tzura samalacha, the description, but rather I will tell you, oh, in terms of its purpose, its melechas machsheves. And that I would term as a toldo of expansion. It means that we take that which was found in the Mishkan itself, and we broaden, it's a harchava. We broaden the Hagdara. The Hagdara is not only exactly that which was done, but it's broader even to include other cases as well. And therefore, again, it didn't daraisa. Your chayiv karis, your chayiv skili, your chayiv chatos for a toldo as well. And that I would term is considered to be a toldo of expansion. When it comes to Tuma, there I would argue it's quite different. When you're dealing with Avos and Toldos, when it comes to Tuma, that's really an expansion. A mace, let's assume, is Avi Avos HaTuma. And you know what? You and I come in contact with a mace. We're an Ava Tuma. That's a Harchava. That now we have the status of a mace. In other words, mace is not limited to the, it's hard to understand the Toldos of Tuma in terms of Harchava. There I would tell you, it's a very different definition of a tolda. You know, a mace is tame. What in the world does that have to do with me? You know what the answer is? When you contact a mace, there is a residual tumor. There's a residual tumor. Where did that tumor come from? You know what the answer is? The tumor emanated from the mace, right? The mace is here. But you know what? If something's in the same room, if someone has direct contact with a mace, you know what? That there's a residual tumor that is conveyed to B, C, D, right? The Av, the Rishon, the Sheni, and the like. That I wouldn't say is a hachava. I wouldn't call that an expansion. An expansion? This is an expansion of Zareya. This is an expansion of a mace. An expansion of a mace. There I would say it's very different. The reason that it's called a told is because how in the world, where did your tumor come from? You're alive and well, you're walking around. Where did that tumor come from? You know what the answer is? It emanated from. It's rooted in its sources. It emanated from. You had contact with something that's coming, and you know that sticks. Right? There's a residue. There's residual tumor by virtue of the contact. So that, I would tell you, is a very different hagdara of a tolda. You have a tolda, to use the English terms now, you have a tolda of expansion, you have a tolda of emanation. You have a tolda which is arhava, and you have a tolda which the status of B is novea from the status of A. And those are very, very different types of toldos, very different types of toldos. If I were to ask you the following, so what would you think about Toldosayim kayotzevem, or Toldosayim av kayotzevem. So that would suggest that B, that's very nostalgic. If you're dealing with an expansion, don't take Zorea literally, planting. Zorea means anything that promotes the growth of the plant. If it's an expansion, it's a harchava. I would say the Muskor Rishon is that Toldosayim should be kayotzevem. That these are models which the Torah insists that the Hagdara is an expanded Hagdara, but what's true of the Av is true of the Tolda. Let's assume, for example, you're dealing with the Tolda of emanation. There, one should assume Toldosayim kayotzevem. A person comes in contact with the mace, something rubs off. There's a residual status. You have to assume that everything that's true of the mace is true of the person that comes in contact with the mace. I would say, by definition, emanation is a step down. It's a step down. This is not who I am, but you know what? Since I have contact with, so therefore there's a residual tumor. Why would you necessarily assume that a residual tumor has the same exact status as a primary tumor? A primary tumor. And therefore I would say it's not just Xeris Akosu, but it's very mistaber that Shabbos is the model of Toldosayim kayotzevem, because it's a harchav, it's an expansion. And tumor is a model of Toldosayim that are love kayotzevem, because it's not a tautology. It's not we're saying A equals B. We're saying B emanated from A. But again, there can be a step down, and therefore differences between avatuma as opposed to a tolda, a rishon, a tuma, and the like. And here the Gemara raises the following question. What would you say about each and every case of nezikin? Is that modeled after Shabbos? Is that modeled after tuma? So you know what I would tell you the following? I would say the starting point is that Nezikin should be similar to Shabbos. In other words, the Torah gives you certain examples of a Maisa Hezeh. Shor Bor Ma'aveh. Those are the things that are Mefurish B'kra. But you know what you have to do now? It's not the case, just because the Pasuk says Ki Yigach, it's not the case that you're only Chaya for Goring, for Negicha. You have to take that example of Ki Yigach and you have to expand. You have to make a Hagdara. What exactly is the Hagdara? Maybe it's not so simple. Maybe the Hagdara is Kavanah Salazik, deliberate. Maybe the Hagdara is, no, Meshuna. When something is done that is atypical, that's not so clear. What's the definition of care? Let's say, for example, that you're dealing with an animal where its very nature is to be aggressive. It's not Meshuna. Is it Kavanos Lahazik? Yes. Is that considered to be Karen, or is that considered to be Regel? No? But you need a Hagdara. One unique feature of Karen is this Kavanos Lahazik. Another unique feature is that we assume, typically speaking, an animal is the Cheska Shimur. All of a sudden, such a wild animal, that's atypical. Those are Hagdaras. Or for example, what's the Hagdara of Eishu? A Koach Acher Murabo. Right, where all of a sudden now, Hezek is occurred, but it's not solely done through my act, but it's accompanied by. Or you have some like a bor, which is tchilas asiyas lanezek. You know what the answer is? All of those are hagdaras. Regular is a zeka matsui, and shein is yeshan al zeka. Those are hagdaras. I would say in one word, all of that is a harchava. All of that is a broadening. All of that is considered to be an expansion. So in achinami, the Gemara says, you know what? That, of course, when it comes to nezikin, toldosem kayotzebehem. Because once you're dealing with an expansion, you're dealing with a hagdara, so therefore, why would one indeed distinguish? And with this in mind, the Gemara says, you know what? There is an exception. A told when it comes to nezikin, what toldos saying is, lav kayotzebehem. And that the Gemara says is soros. An animal is walking and it damages with its leg, b'derech hilucho, that's called regla. But if an animal is walking and kicks up a stone and the stone damages, oh, that's soros, and therefore, different dinim. No? That already soros is a chatzi nezik. So the one case that you have of nezikin where we assume that tosein lav kayotzebehem is a case of soros, how does that fit? Oh, then I will tell you the following. Is it so obvious that the told of Tsuraros is an expansion? It's an expansion. Tsuraros is an expansion of Regel. What is the Av? The Av is Gufo. What is Tsuraros? Kocho. No? The animal didn't damage with its body, but it kicked up a stone, and the stone, the relationship of Kocho and Gufo. What's that? That's a Harchava. Who says that's a Harchava at all? If the Torah says you do something with your goof, what right do you have to say that, and if it's done, al yedei kocho, who says it? You know what the relationship of gufo and kocho is? Emanation, no? Where did this koch come from? You know what, the koch was produced by the regel. B is produced by A. You know what? That's more similar, right, to the case of tuma, where it's a tolda because it emanates from, the koach emanates from guf, as opposed to being a harchava. But when it comes to cases of that type of tolda emanation, oh, guess what? So todo seyam lav kayotzebehem. And therefore, in achinami, that it's not just simply hilchos and gzeres hakasuv, but in terms of the hagdara, one could understand indeed why that's true. So then I think it's very, very important for understanding those things, the beginning of Baba Kama, that there are two different hagdaras of avos and toldos. You can be a tolda because you emanate from, or you can be a tolda because you're an expansion of. No? Those are two. So you'll tell me whether this is Jewish or whether, you know, liberty, not liberty. Ooh, Rashi's bothered in the very beginning of the first. No? The Eila toldos Yitzhak ben Avram holidays Yitzhak. No? Wow, Rashi's bothered. Why the repetition? No? So maybe, ooh, exactly that possibility. Why was it that Yitzchak was a told of Avram? Why exactly is that true? So on one level, it's clear that Avram holid is Yitzchak. No? Yitzchak emanated from Avram Avi. That's clear. But it was much, much more than that. I think this is the Yisod, that the entire life of Yitzchak was an expansion of that which Avram Avinu did. That was the uniqueness of Yitzchak. And if there are two different types of toldos, one emanating from and the other, which is Harchava. So maybe, Pashup Shat, maybe that's why the Pasuk repeats itself to tell you that the Eila Toldos means that it's a Tolda in the Shabbos sense, it's a Tolda in the Tumah sense. If you look at the Pirush of the Bali HaTosis, the Tosis HaSholim HaMatorim, it's like an incredible list. But the first piece, the Bali HaTosis, right, that you know what? That Kol Masha Eir Lezeh. Wow. Tosis writes, whatever happened to Avram Avinu happened to Yitzchak. And you know what? The Bali HaTosis, right? 14 examples. It's like stunning, no? Everything that happens. Each one was tested. In each one, their wife was taken. In each one, had an experience with the Be'eros. In each one, made a Shvuot Avimelech. And each one is called a Zakein. And each one built the Mizbeach. And each one had a child who was part of their Zera, and a child who was not part of their Zera. Now, all of that, right, played out. It's unusual. Each one was a Rosh Nimolim, right? After all, Yishmael received a Bris Milah, but Yitzchak was the first to receive Mitzvah on day 8. You know, the Bali HaTosis, right? That's a mindset. Now that Yitzchak was an expansion of Avraham Avinu. Everything that Yitzchak did was considered to be fortifying, codifying, establishing the hanhaga of his father Avraham. That's a sense of a toldah of expansion. It wasn't just simply that Yitzchak emanated from, that's true, but much, much more than that. Much more. For example, when you look at the sugya brachos and achavah, that's the sugya that you know, that why is it we have shachris and minchei marev? Oh, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Yitzchak, if he was masak and tefillas mincha, oh, the pasuk, v'yetzei Yitzchak l'suach l'sadeh. V'yetzei Yitzchak l'suach l'sadeh. Good. Tosus immediately asks, something unusual, not that you all know. Yeah, but the sugya yumadav chavches. Yumadav chavches refers to tefillas mincha as being tzilusa d'Avram. Tosus is father, no? The Gemara calls tefillas mincha the tefillah of Avraham Avinu. The tefillah of Avraham Avinu. So how exactly does that work? Tosus and Brachas write something unusual. Yeah. Once Yitzchak was Mesakein Tefillas Mincha, Avraham Avinu also Davi Mincha. So Yitzchak was Mesakein Tefillas Mincha, and subsequently, La'achar Shetikein Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu Davin as well. So the Gemara can refer to even Tefillas Mincha as being a tefillah that indeed Avraham Avinu Davin. Okay, take a look at the Tosus Yishanim, right? And that's Sugi Yuman, Chachez, on the Dav. The Tosus Yishanim writes, and that's the Mashmos also Rabbi Nechanano as well, that Avram Avinu Davin Mincha. That's why the Gemara calls it Tzilus Avram. But Avram Avinu did not establish Tfilas Mincha as a Takana Kavua. Avram Avinu just established Shachris. Avram Avinu didn't only Davin Shachris. Avram Avinu Davin Shachris, Avram Avinu Davin Mincha, but Avram Avinu established Shachris as a Tfila Kavua. And you know what Yitzchak did? Yitzchak took the tefillah of Avraham Avinu, Tzidusa d'Avraham Mincha, and established that as a takana l'daros. Oh, that's Mefurish and Tosus Yishanim. In other words, this was a practice of Avraham Avinu, and Yitzchak institutionalized the practice of Avraham Avinu. Yeah, that's the toldah. Now that whatever indeed Avraham Avinu did, even if it was a personal hanhaga, but Yitzchak codified that and established that as something was doros. That's the Tosus Yishanim writes Mefurish, Yimachavches, when it comes to Tefillas Mincha. And Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, that was true when it comes to the Chafiras HaBoros, that all the Be'er that Avraham Avinu did, this is exactly what Yitzchak followed. Trying to go ahead and to, right, codify. That's what Avraham Avinu did. And there's a stunning Ramban here in Toldos, right, in Terech Chavah Pasuk Gimel. Time and time again in Chumash, the Torah describes, for example, Eretz Yisrael. And what is our claim to Eretz Yisrael? Asher nishvati l'avosecha l'avram Yitzchak Yaakov. No? After all, Hashem says, this is a shvuah that I made for Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. So Ramban has a stunning comment. Where was there a Shavuot to Yitzchak? This is the land that I promised your forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Where is there a Shavuot to Yitzchak? Like, you go through Chumash. Where did Hashem promise Eretz Yisrael to Yitzchak? So Rambam makes a stunning comment. There's only one possibility. That's Chaf Vav Gimel. There's only one possibility. Vakimosi es Hashua, Asher nishvati l'Avraham Avicha. That was the Shua to Yitzchak. Through you, I'll fulfill the Shua that I made to your father. Wow. So Ramban writes that, you know, you need that. Like Hashem has to tell Yitzchak, I'm really going to keep my word. Like, you need that. No? Hashem promised it to Avraham Avinu. So Yitzchak needs the assurance that, you know what, Hashem is going to follow through with his Shua. No? So that's exactly what the Ramban writes, that no. Akimosa Shashua means that the Shua of Yitzchak was the fulfillment of the Shua of Avraham Avinu. That was the Shua of Yitzchak. And that wasn't at all coincidental. That was the mission statement of Yitzchak. That through Yitzchak we would fulfill, right, the model, the legacy of of Avraham Avinu. So that's Rabbeinu Chananel, and that's Rabbeinu Bechaya, and that's the Chiddush the Ramban. So I would just argue that that's the Hagdara of Toldos, the Hagdara of Toldos. And therefore, the Pasuk refers to it in two sense. A Toldo of Harchava, in addition to, of course, that Avram holy as Yitzhak, which means that, yes, clearly that Yitzhak emanated from Avram Avinu. When you look further in Parshas Toldos, you know what? You also see that to an extent, that you know what? That even Esav, right, tried to cling to, so to speak, the practice of avos. No? At the beginning of the parasha, Chafecha, that Yitzhak was ben arba'in shana, and that's when he got married. So the pasuk says surprisingly that Yitzhak did so, and Esav wanted to follow the model of his father. No, and therefore the pasuk says in Chafav Lamed Aleph that the Esav ben arba'in shana v'hikach isha. You know that Esav, to an extent, sounds as though that he also was interested in solidifying, codifying, preserving, right, the legacy of his father. So Rashi immediately comments, you know, all that was false. All that was false. No? It's true. Esav did so. Esav married at age 40. Why? Oh, because the father married at age of 40. Yeah, but Rashi writes something which is striking. You know the name of the Medrash. No? Esav haya nimshal l'chazir. That's what Rashi writes. You know what? Esav is compared to the chazir. And Rashi quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Pei Yudalet, Yichar semena chazir miyar. You know what that means? That you have a chazir. And po she tlafa, ru'u shani tohar. You know that a chazir has a split hoof. So when it's convenient, you know what the chazir does? It sticks out its hoof in order to demonstrate ru'u shani tohar. Ru'u shani tohar. Know that they're two different simanim, of course, of a behemah tahora, malegera, matris parsa, split hoof and choose its cud. Yeah. One is an internal simon, no? Malegera, internally, choose its cud. The other is an external simon, matris parsa, it has a split hoof. So that's what Rashi writes was the case of Esav. Esav was not tochel kabara. Esav was not Tochel Kabar. Esav, Rashi writes, that throughout his life, he violated one other after another. He was Osik in Arayos. But he wasn't going to get married until he was 40 years old. The life of Yitzhak was a life of Kedush and Tara. He did not do that, but you know what? He mimicked, he tried to mimic what his father was doing, as though Ru'u Shani Tohar. And that was the hypocrisy. That was the challenge of Esav. That Esav could superficially appear as though, even though internally, even though deep down, that certainly was not who he was. That's one of the most famous places of the Beis Halevi, Veishlach, Lamed Beis Yudbeis, Hatzileni Nam Yad Achim Yad Esav. That Esav has two strategies, right? One is that he preaches brotherhood, and it's as though there's an appearance of friendship. But what do you mean that halacha is of Sones Yaakov? Internally, that certainly was not the case. And Hatzileni Lam Yad Achi means the tefillah of Yaakovino, to save me from Esav when he preaches brotherhood, and that was primary. And secondary, when Esav when he physically attacks me, because Esav had that capacity. Esav had one simen of tuma, which was the internal simen, the essence of, but it had a simen of tahara. And therefore, Yitzchak, for example, followed everything his father did. And Esav was trying to convey as though that he also was following that mesorah. Esav trying to follow that which Yitzchak did. But Rashi writes, that was all false. That was all superficial. That Esav hayinimshal l'chazir. There's an amazing comment that the Kli Yakar has. The Kli Yakar is found in Parsha Shmini, Right? Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalet. There, the Kli Yakar writes the following. You know, when the Torah describes a behemoth Torah, right? So one pasuk earlier, right? Pasuk Yemo. You have to have the two requirements. It has to be Mafis Parsa. It has to be Maligim. Oh. The next pasuk gives you three examples of animals that have one, but they don't have the other. You have a Gomel, a Shafan, Arneves, and you know what? They have one and one. They have one and one. Mali Geira, but they're not Matris Pars. In Pasuk Zayin, then the Torah mentions the fourth exception, right? The fourth exception is the Chazir. The Chazir is the opposite. No. It's a case where it's Mafris Parsa, but it's not Maligera. Okay, so the Torah has four different animals. Each one has one simen, Gamal Shafnar Neves, right? And the Chazir, that's the unique animal. It's Mafris Parsa, but it's not Maligera. Okay. So the Kli Yakar writes, when you look at those psukim, there's something which is stunning, no? For example, the Pasuk says the following, that Lo Sochel Es HaGamal, don't go ahead and eat the gamal because the gamal is amin tameh. And what? How does the pasuk continue? No, kimale geiruhu upersa inena mafris. Because it chews its cud, but it doesn't have a split off. And the Torah says the same thing about the shafnar neves. Don't eat it because it's male geiruhu upersa inena mafris. And whoa. And when it comes to the chazir, the same thing is true. Don't partake of the chazir. Why? Ki mafris parsahu, because it has a split hoof, but it doesn't chew its cud. That sounds very unusual, no? Like, how do you translate the word ki? Now, if ki would mean, let's say this English word, no? But it doesn't. Let's say ki would mean despite. Despite. Oh, that would be great, no? You know what? Don't eat from the gamal. Because despite the fact that it's Malegera, Parasina Mafris. Same thing Shafan, same thing Revis. Or the Chazir. Don't eat from the Chazir because despite the fact that it's Mafris Parasa, it's not Malegera. If that would be the meaning, that would be okay. You know what the difficulty is? That's not what the word Ki means. Ki does not mean Mamros, no? Despite. Ki means because. That sounds very odd, no? Don't eat from the chazir because it's mafris parsa. What do you mean? That's the reason, that's the simin tamar. So that's the ha'ar of the Kli Yakar. That in all four cases, when the Torah says don't eat, it's makdim the simin tamar to the simin tumor. So that's the kasha. That's the kasha of the Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar writes, like pretty heavy, no? The Kli Yakar writes the following, that mosif tumal tamasa. Mosif tumal tamasa. Now that's the lesson. The Kli Yakar writes. You know what? You know what the danger of these animals are? Because it has something in common. It has some. There's some animals that have no commonality at all with a behemoth Torah. That you're going to naturally distance yourself from. But you know what the risk of these animals are? It has something in common. Right? Make sure you don't partake of the gamal because the gamal is malagera. And uparsena mafris. In other words, that when something has a certain degree of commonality, there is a certain connection, there is a tzad shava shavahem, the risk is greater. Oh, that's what Kli Yakar writes. The Kli Yakar writes, like a beautiful thing, now take a look at yourself, that the four animals represent the umosa olam and the different kufos of galus of Klal Yisrael. And that's the nisayin in galus, that you know what? There are times you'll be living galus, and you know what? There'll be an appearance as though that, you know, that everyone can equally be part of society, humanity. What we have in common far outweighs that which divides us. And the Kli Yakar writes, as a ma'aseh l'simul habanim, that which we have in common heightens the risk. Because your guard is down. That's exactly that Beis Halevi in Parshas Vayishlach. Because of the commonality of Yaakov and Esau, they came from the same parents. You know, he also has a simen of a behemah Torah. No, that's what Rashi writes. Nimshal chazir. So Rashi writes this here in Parshas Toldos that you know what, that the appearance was as though as that Esav also was interested in marrying, oh, at a similar age to that of Yitzhak, to follow, so to speak, the Masorah, but Dainachanami, that was something that was detrimental. And one has to be significantly on guard when there is that commonality. So on one hand, you know, maybe you can create a closeness. On the other hand, that closeness is exactly the significant fear. Well, so when the parasha begins, it describes that Vayisrotzu Habana Bekirba, that all of a sudden now that the sense that something was wrong. Something was wrong. And there was a Yaakov, and there was an Esav. But Rashi quotes the Medrash that now, you know, when they would walk past Esav and Azara, all of a sudden there would be a push, you know? When they walk past Pischei Tosh Hashem Ve'ever, also there would be a push. Ooh, then Yaakov vino Ratz and Mafar Chiz Lotzeis. And Yaakov was desirous of leaving, you know? Even though the Gemara Nid and Daf Lamed, now that Yaakov was being taught Kol HaTorah Kula by the Malach, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, but you know, nonetheless, you pass the Beis Medrash, you want to jump out, you know? But a couple of reasons, no? No doubt one is Amelus, you know? What you gain through Amelus, that's clear, you know, it's nice to be taught by a Malach, but that doesn't compare to the Amelus of the Beis Medrash, you know? Or maybe they need to have a good chavrusa, you know. Esav was there, you know. So if you're chavrusa with Esav, you have to leave. You have to leave. That's not good enough. No, the malach can be the rebbe, but you know what? Chavrusa is very, very precious, you know. But interesting that Mechar Seif says that he's trying to go out. So v'teilech lidros hashashem. The Brisker Rav here has a piece. The Brisker Rav references the sugya brachos and daf yud. Unusual. The Gemara says the following important Musar Haskam. Well, the Chizkiyahu lo asak the Pirei Verivya. There were times he wasn't Osek in Pirei Verivya. Why was that true? Why in the world not? The Gemara says something striking because Chazal Baruch HaKodesh. That, you know what? That Nafkinei Benin Delo Malu. Because he saw in Rosh HaKodesh that his descendants would be mixed. He would have descendants that were Rishayim. And therefore, Chizkiyahu decided for that window of his life, you know what? Better not to be Osik and Peruvu. Because he had a nevuah that, you know, his descendants would be Menashe, Amnon, and therefore, better not. That certainly wasn't true of all his descendants, no? Yoshiyahu, Tzidkiyahu, were also descendants of Chizkiyahu. But you know what? It was kind of a mix. It was a mix, no? Yoshiyahu, Tzidkiyahu, Zerubbabel, like, you know, there were Sadiq and there were Rishayim. But his cheshbon was, you know, that if that's going to be the reality, better not. So the Gemara describes in Brachos Tad Yud that Yeshayahu HaNavi came to him and said, what you're doing is wrong. You should not be making that calculation. You should not be making that cheshbon. Why not? What's wrong with that cheshbon? It's interesting, Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara doesn't say because your thinking is off. What you're thinking is not true. You know what the Gemara says? That Bahante Kavshe Drachman Alamalach. Why are you entering Hashem's domain? Ma de mifkadasi boilach lamed. You have to do what you have to do. Kadosh Baruch Hu says you have a tzivri approval, you have to follow the tzivri Hashem. You have no right to go ahead as legitimate as the concern might, but having descendants of Menashe and Amnon, and they caused Knesset Yisrael to be Nichshon Avod Azara. As serious as that is, you have no right to make such a calculation. That's pretty profound. Now that Gemara is key to Avodas Hashem. You know what? When a person has a chiyuv, this is what you must do. You know what the answer is? This is what you must do. You cannot make any of these cheshbonos. Cheshbonos is called kavshi drachmanav. Something is absolutely discretionary. You can use discretion. If something is mandated, if something is obligatory, you know, you cannot exercise discretion. The Prescrib points out the following. You know, what Chizkiyahu was experiencing seemed to be a fallback to what Rivkimina was experiencing. And she was terribly, terribly distressed. Now, you pass the base of a Hazar, and all of a sudden, there's movement. What exactly does that mean? So here the Prescrib just adds, as the Kuntz, now, when you see the Sukhim Yivamas, right, that men are chayiv in Puruvu, women are exempt from Puruvu, So if the takeaway is the following, that if something is indeed discretionary, a person could have a right to question, but if something is mandated that you don't, that the Prescrib writes that there should be a fundamental difference, right, between Rivka, who is exempt from Puruvu, and Chizkiyahu, who is obligated in Puruvu, and therefore her query was a very legitimate one. And therefore, Vatelech Lidus as Hashem. The answer was not just simply that, you know what, right? The answer must be, this is part of our destiny, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich. No, but they write, that's the marked difference between Rivka as opposed to Chizkiyah, exactly. That teretz of Mad Demifkadas, Yibalach Lameva. I pointed out earlier that that really is very critical, Mad Demifkadas, Yibalach Lameva. This is a yesod that Reb Chaim has when it comes to the Akeda. When you look at the Akeda, you know, that Avram Avinu, right, in Perach HaBeis, Pasuk Yabeis, was very perplexed. What exactly is the Ratzon? What exactly is the Ratzon Hashem? What is the Ratzon Hashem? After all, Rashi writes, you know what? Kiv Yitzchak Yikala Chazar. As we mentioned not long ago. No, Zera means something which is enduring. That's the Tosus Nivamos and Dap. Chabez Mabez. Zera is something that is Lanetzach. It's something which is enduring. Okay? And all of a sudden now, Kachnas Binches Yechidcha Sherhaftes Yitzchak. That means end. There is no Zera. And all of a sudden, Avraham Avinu's willingness to go ahead and to undergo. And all of a sudden now, Al Tishlach. So Rashi writes, Avraham Avinu took a step back and questioned that, you know, what exactly is the Musar Haskel? What is Hashem attempting to show me by saying step one, step two, step three? So as I mentioned not so long ago, no, that Reb Chaim was bothered simply by the following, the timing of, you know, I understand, you have A, B, C, Mamash Astira. A is Zera, and B is Akeda, and C is Al Tishlach. Mama Shastira. No? Step one, step two, step three. Let's assume you didn't have step three. Everything's fine? Everything's fine and good? So step one is Zera, and step two is Kachnas Bin Chesichincha. Why wasn't Avraham Avinu at that point? Why didn't he take pause? Why at that point didn't he say, wait a second, how can it be that there's Zera? And how can it be that Kachnas Ben Chesichincha? And Avraham Avinu didn't flinch. Only when Avraham Avinu was told, Al Tishlach, all of a sudden then, oh, now Avraham Avinu says, you know, I have to process this. What was wrong with step one and step two? No, you don't need step three for Akasha. No, you don't need step three. So I mentioned to you then, now that there is a Sefer Yikarim, in Mamar Shlishi and Perek Lamed Vav. And this is the Drasha Saran and Drasha Vav that writes that Kach Na is Binchet Na. What does Na mean? They both write Ein Na Eloshim Bakasha. Wow, that's something stunning. Akedis Yitzchak was not a tzimu. Akedis Yitzchak was a request. Wow. Oh, maybe that's part of the greatness of Avraham Avinu. How would Avraham Avinu respond to a request. There is no chiyuv. Avraham Avinu did not have to undergo that. He did not have to do that. It was a request. It's hard to turn down a request of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it was a request. Why was it a request? Because Avraham Avinu was promised. Ki Yitzchak Yikra Chazara. And therefore, kach na, see, na has two meanings, the Drasha Saran writes, right? Na sometimes can mean now, achshav, or it can mean bakasha. So kach na could mean immediately. Or na could mean that's the chiddush of the run. It means it's a bakasha. Why is it a bakasha? Because it flies in the face of its tzivui. If that's true, that's not really a sira. You know, many times a person can say, you know what, although I promised you this, nonetheless, I'm asking you for that. That's not necessarily a stira. A person is not reneging on his promise. If he's saying to you, you know what, could you b'melcho? Could you forgo? So there was no stira between one and two. That's part of the nisayon. But to say, can you please, and all of a sudden say, al tishlach, that sounds odd, no? I'm desirous of, and all of a sudden you say no. That's what Avraham Avinu was distressed at. Oh, that's one possibility. You know, if that really is true, it answers the timing of Avraham Avinu's introspection, the kasha. It wasn't between step one and step two, because step two was not at tzivui. But that's a chiddush, no? Step two was not at tzivui. Okay, Akeis Yitzchak was not at tzivui, but rather it was simply a request. No, the briskram kos b'shem Reb Chaim. That no, it was a tzivu. It was a tzivu. Moshev shav, like Rover shav. Kachnas bin ches yechilcha was an absolute tzivu. An absolute. So why didn't Avraham Avinu all of a sudden stop and say, what? How can you promise me this and command me to do that? You know what the answer is? Brachos tafiyot. Madden mifgadah siva lach lameva. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what you have to do, guess what? This is what you have to do. You know, you have questions. You know, how is this going to play itself out? How is the bris ben avasarim going to be fulfilled in light of this tzivu? As strong as that question is, ma demifkada siba lach lemevad, just like Chizkiyahu, you know, saw Amnon Menashe, not a nevuah, but ma demifkada siba lach lemevad. And therefore, at that point, you cannot stop and ask. At that point, you cannot stop and ask. When can you go ahead and stop and ask? When you don't have it seemed. When you don't apply ma demifkada siva lach lemevad. And that then fits in very well. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and Al Yidei Malach says to Avraham Avinu that al tishlach, don't do anything more. You've satisfied everything that I've asked you, that I've asked you to do. Oh, so guess what? So at this point in time, now it's appropriate now, you know, to take a step back and now to assess that, you know, that what is it? That what exactly is the Musar Haskel? What exactly is the lesson? The lesson of well, it's an important issue. Regarding the Mechira Sabachora, regarding Yaakov and Esau, they're important halachos, but also important hashkafa. You know, there is a Tshuva Sarivashi, to take a look at Shin Chav Ches, that is thoroughly bothered by the Mechira Sabachora, because the whole thing, he writes, before she quotes us the name of the Rush, the whole thing was a Dover Shalom Baliyolam. The whole thing is a Dover Shalom Baliyolam. When we speak about the Bechorah meant incredible things, no? The Bechorah meant, you know, Avodas HaMikdash, Hen Yerushas HaAretz, and like the role of the Bechor. Yeah, but none of that was true here and now. In real time, none of that was true. So how is it possible that that can be up for sale? Why isn't that a violation of Inan Amatna Dover Shlomo Baliyolam? So the Rivash quotes the sheet of the Rush that a person can be Makna a Dover Shlomo Al Yedei Shvuah. Al Yedei Shvuah. Typical Kenyanat, but if a person will go ahead and make a Shvuah, wow. Then Ana Makna Dover Shlomo Baliyolam. And that was the insistence on the Yishavali Kayom by Yishavala. The reason the Shvuah accompanied was the Rivash writes, he doesn't think that that's true. Why should a Shvuah have any impact at all on the Yisod of Dover Shlomo Baliyolam? And therefore the Rivash just writes that, you know what, this was all Kodeh Matan Torah. But you're right, you know, Lachar Matan Torah, you cannot just go ahead and sell off future rights to Bechorah. Well, That's the Rivash. What exactly is the sheet of the Rush? The Rush is that somehow the Shvuah changed everything. You know, it's a fascinating question as to why is it that we assume that in an Amakna Dorish Lebaliyama, and maybe, ooh, this is a Lashita saying, there is Rabbi Yotam in Sefer Yashar, Tavkuf Tzadi Beis. And this is the sheet of the Rush as well, the Baba Basra and Avkuf Membeis, that you know why Einar Amakna Dover Shlobal Yolo? Because there's no Smichas Das. There's no Smichas Das. You know, every kin requires Das Kone, every kin requires Das Makne. There's no Smichas Das if something does not exist. If this exists and I'm parting with it, you know what? That's serious. That's serious. If this exists and I'm acquiring it, that's something which is serious. If you're talking about something that doesn't even exist, that is not really Das Kone and Das Mak. Das Kone and Mak. In English, we call it like pie in the sky. No, it's not Nogaya. It's not Nogaya. Yeah, you know, you're talking about something that's, you know, just flying around. So what, I'm making a kinyan, not making a kinyan. Well, as opposed to, let's say, a very different mahalach, that a kinyan has to be chal on a davar shebe'en. And in an amak the Rosh Olam is like, as alach and chalos. What is the kinyan chal on? There's nothing which is davar shebe'en. It's like that Ramban, Kedushin HaTer Zayin. Eved ivri gufo kanoi, gufo kanoi. It means there's a kinyan, not just a broad, you know, he owes me certain services. Owes me certain services. It means, I don't know, that there's a kinyan, and mechila can work when it comes to a kinyan. Yeah, okay, that's... But the Rush writes that the problem of Dover Shel Bali Olam is mitzad ha-gavra, gemiras das. It's not muchach, but that fits in very well with what the Rush writes, that if it's accompanied ayyadeh shvur, it's hard to say that it's something that, you know, I'm not being serious. Meshata nibach, it doesn't exist. Talk is cheap. You're making a shvur daraisa. How can you say that, you know, indeed it wasn't meant? If it's alachim gemiras das, it's not muchach. But the possibility of arguing, you know, when it's done ayyadeh shvur, everything changes. Shvur is not going to solve the chefetza problem. If halacha is a kinyan has to be chal on davar shebe'en, shvur is not going to resolve that problem. But if it simply means that, you know what, where do you see the das kon and das makna, the answer is that, what do you mean? Ayyadeh shvur. It may be indeed that that's why the shvur was taken in order to solve this particular problem. That's the chiddush of the tshuva sarivash. There is another possibility, fascinating, the Sfarno writes in the Parsha, that what was the story with the Nezid Ad Hashem? Why? Does that have any important role whatsoever? Okay, Esau was hungry. I get that. But did that have any essential role in the Mechira Sabachon? So it is fascinating, the Sfarno writes, and this is arrived, yesterday I mentioned the Tmim Deim, this is arrived in Tmim Deim, in Simen Kuf Samach, that the Nezid Ad Hashem was a Kinyan Chalipin. A Kinyan Chalipin. You know, Chalipin is an unusual Kinyan. Normally, a Kinyan is Chal on a Dover Sheba'en. Hagbah, Meshicha, no? Chalipin is very unusual. That's really not what Chalipin does. Mm-hmm. So that you can refer to Chalipin as a Haknami Das. You know what Chalipin is? It's a manifestation of Das Kon. It's a manifestation of Das Mak. Oh, that's why, for example, you have a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, whose kli do you use for chalipin? Kelev Shel Kon or Kelev Shel Mak? You know what? If chalipin is a form of kesed, din and tosos kushin of gimel. No. If chalipin is a form of a kinyan kesed, well, who pays? Well, of course the buyer pays. The seller pays. That sounds so odd, no? The seller has to pay for the chayfetz, the buyer pays. So how in the world can there be a machlokas Rav and Levi as to whether the kli for chalipin is shel kone or shel makne? Of course it's shel kone. No? I'm kone the chayfetz by paying you. Instead of paying you with money, I'm paying you with the form of a shava kesef. No? What's the relationship, the chalipin and kesef? According to Levi, absolutely not. Obviously, ma'os means that the buyer pays, and chalipin, the seller, provides, and completely nothing at all to do with the kinyan kesef. So why do you need the kli of the mak? You know what the answer is? Das makne. The Iker Das and Kinyas Das Machne. The Tosa Sender Samaches. If you have Das Machne, you don't need Das Konen. Das Acheres Machnalo. So therefore, if you're going to have a manifestation of the Das of the Kinyan, not surprising. One would argue that, you know, it's considered to be Haknami Das. Okay. So the Svarno writes this Chiddush, and the Ravid as well, that was the role of the Nezid Adashim. And even if you assume Peri Lo Abdi Chalipin, that's why it was important to have the Nezid, no? The Kli, because you need a Kli for Kini Chalipin. What exactly do you solve, right, by that problem? Because there are Shonim that write explicitly that with a kinyan chalipin, you can be makna davar shlaval yolam. That's what that Raivin writes in Tanim Dayim. I understand if you're talking about a kinyan and a davar shabe'en, hagbara mashicha, how can you do hagbara mashicha and a davar shlaval yolam? Obvious, it doesn't exist. A magbiya the chayfetz, what chayfetz? I want to go ahead and acquire next year's fruit with a kinyan hagbara. But if you're not dealing with the haknas hachayfetz, the kinyan is haknami das, the possibility that can solve the Domer Shalom as well, and that's a Chiddush. And here the Sfarna writes the king was Chalipin, and the Ravid Sheet is that, wow, that Chalipin can solve the problem of Domer Shalom Aliyolam. When you look at the Rashbam in the Pasuk, the Rashbam writes that, you know, Vayochal, they sat and they ate together. Why is that significant? Why is that significant? Like what the Torah describes. And it's like amazing. Every point of the story, you know, there was a Shua, there was a Nezid Adashim, they sat and ate together. How relevant are all these things in terms of the acquisition, the Mechiras HaBechora? So it's fascinating. The Rashbam writes that Achila was really critical because that Achila is a Kenyan. Since when do you see that Achila is a Kenyan? Achila is a Kenyan. You eat something that's, you know, the Rashbam writes, Situmta. You know, Situmta means Kedera Chamoch. Sometimes you can have a practice, a minhag, a convention, a minhag HaMedina, that when you do this, it means the deal is done. It means the deal is done. That's a binding Kinyan Halacha. That's something which is called Situmta. When we sell the Chametz to the guy, we want to sell the Chametz to the guy, and also we want to be matna to the guy the areas where the Chametz is found. So how exactly do that? We do many, many, many kinyanim. But one kinyan we do is called Situmta. Kedera Chamochri. What's the Situmta of this manazah? No? What about the following? What happens when you shake on the deal? You shake, no? Right? You're consummating a deal, and let's shake on the deal. No? In many circles, that's binding. Kemina Chamochri. Kemina Chamochri. You know, if you go to 47th Street, you know, like, you have to be careful, no? And Chassidah, you know? If you say the words bracha v'atzlacha, the deal's done. No? That means it's a haskam. It's a haskam. You know what? I'll pay $5 million for that diamond. You know, you can say no, but don't say bracha v'atzlacha. If you say v'atzlacha, you know what? The deal is done. There's certain key words that, you know, that means. There's something called a situmta that's binding l'alacha. Not because the Torah says that per se is a kinyan, but mamish kederach hamochrim. So the Rashbam writes the following Chiddush. That was true in those times, in those holy times, you know. When you would work out a bris, and then you would, you know, to use today's terms, now you have like a power lunch, you know, like, you know, that is a sign of consummating the deal. So Rashbam writes, the Achila, right, of Yaakov and Esau was a Kinyan Situmta. You know, there's a Mordechai, Rabbi Elazar ben Milo, that a Kinyan Situmta can be chal, even on a davar shel bal yomim. Because again, it's not a kinyan chefza and a davar shabe'en. It means a haskama. A haskama. So a haskama can be reflected in a kinyan chalipin. The Rashbam, that a haskama can be reflected in a situmta. And therefore, like, it's amazing. Like, you see all the layers, the stages of the back and forth of Yaakov and Esau. You know, like, so all the mahalach are relevant in that problem, lahalacha of a davar shalva liyolam. I would just add the following, that the issue of davar shalva liyolam is not only true in lahalacha, but I would tell you it's true in Heshkel. It's true in the following sense. Esav HaRasha was no fool. you know? And no doubt it begs the question that how can a thinking person give up so much for so little? You give up, a bechalra, everything that meant, avodas hamikdash, Eretz Yisrael, and you give it up because you're hungry, and a zirat Hashem. But you know what? It's clear. You know why that Asa was willing to do that? It's exactly because all those things, as lofty as they were a davar shel olam. Like, none of that was relevant here and now. What you speak about potential avoda, who avoda, what avoda, no? You speak about Yerusha Saaretz, who, what, hundreds and hundreds of years from now? You speak about, like, Yerusha Saaretz. There was no tangible benefit right here and now. Everything, very literally, was a davar shel olam. This was destiny. Right, but this was not anything that would posit a right here and now. And that's an incredible difference in terms of hashkafa. No? Hashkafa is that how much do you weigh the here and now? And how much is a person linked to invest for the future? For Yaakov, the Bechorah was of infinite value, even though that it was a question of what his Zera ultimately would be able to receive. And Esav was a very, very different model. Right? The Michra Kayom, no? The today, the here and now. Right? All the immediate benefit that one reaps. The instant gratification that a person will receive, that which he's doing, as opposed to a longer term investment. And I will tell you, even in terms of the models, isn't there an incredible difference between an Ish Yodei at Sa'id as opposed to an Ish who is a Roe Tzom? a person who's a hunter. A hunter spends no time whatsoever cultivating. A hunter will put himself at risk, but there's an immediate kill, there's an immediate gain. How much does a hunter invest in terms of nurturing? Absolutely nothing. That's like a hashkafa. That without investment, a person can go ahead and gain. And no doubt it's risky. But Rashbam points out, maybe that's one of the reasons that Esav was not so concerned about the future, because, the insurance policy for a hunter, the premium is pretty high. That's a very risky risk. It's not a risky profession to be a roe tzom. No? It's a very risky profession to be a hunter. So you're talking about, what will happen years down the road for a hunter. The Rashbam already writes that, a hunter, his future is up in the air. A roe tzom is like the opposite model. No, the avos. You know what that means? Everything is about investment. No? Like day after day after day. It sounds kind of pretty boring. No? You go out, you take the herd out, you take the herd back in. You hope nothing happens. No? You really don't want any excitement. No? Everything should be just very, very simple. You don't want the herd to be attacked. You don't want there to be anything that, you want the daily routine. So you ask anyone, and why are you investing all these days, all these hours? You know what the answer is? Zoran b'dima, v'ini k'tzaro. Because you have a goal. You have a mission. No? Yaakov Avinu z'ish tam yoshev ha'olim. No? The day-to-day amelos. And ultimately, that al yedei zeh, you attain the most important things in life. And when a person is only looking for immediacy, the tragedy is that you end up giving up the most worthy, the most lofty, the most meaningful things in life, Avoda, Eretz Yisrael, Yerusha, Morasha, for nothing. No, for Nezirat Hashem. Because if your prism, if your lens is, what will I immediately benefit from? A person can violate the most chamor averos because of an immediate gratification. And they can give up the most important things in life. And the lesson of Avos is that legacy requires, a sense of perspective, a sense of vision, a sense of destiny. And it's not so surprising that Yaakov and Esav would relate very differently to Mechiras HaBechor, which in Halach and Hashkaf is a davar shel olam. That didn't phase Yaakov in any shape or form. You do everything you can to invest, right? And what your zera 1,000 years from now, what will benefit from, as opposed to that, you know, what does this mean to me if I'm not going to live beyond the next day? That's an important tashkaf in terms of the differences between them. We don't always think of those extremes, but all too often, you know, important decisions in life are made, you know, sometimes through a prism of immediacy, and not with the perspective of, you know, that the Roi Tzion would envision in terms of that what ultimately, that how that changes the trajectory, how that would change a person's posture when it comes to Avodah Hashem. Well, it's an important parsha, the differences, right, between the Hashkak of Yaakov as opposed to that of Esau. Okay. Mitzvah, shall we continue on Monday? Monday, yeah, okay. So we'll have to continue with the Vachmas. Okay.